Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Off the Ball Daily,
a home for your favorite podcasts from Off the Ball.
Who's going to pay my bills? Are people's opinion going to help pay my bills and put food on my table? No, they're not.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
We're here at Tallaght Stadium, home of Shamrock Rovers and the Irish Women's National Team, to talk to Nicola Coffey, who's been the stadium manager here for 16 years.
Nicola Coffey, stadium manager here at Tallaght. Thanks very much for having us.
Not at all. Delighted to have you out here.
Before we get into the stadium itself and your role, I'd love to ask you how you got into this career itself. I know you big sporting background, World Cup in cricket for Ireland.
God, that is a long, long time ago. Yeah, I suppose when I was in school, I loved sport and any sport going. And when I finished, there weren't that many opportunities back then in terms of a career in sports. Like, you could go on and be a PE teacher. And UCD were starting a degree in sports management the following year. And I just took a punt on that and haven't looked back since. I've been really fortunate. At one point, I was training to teach golf professionally, kind of realised that wasn't for me. Worked for a golf course management company, and then came to Tallaght in 2009. So they're stuck with me. I've been here since, but I love it. It's great.
So you joined in April 2009, and July of that year, small team of Real Madrid come to town, and Cristiano Ronaldo and Benzema make their debuts.
Yeah.
Were you involved in getting that game here, or was it already in the works when you joined?
No, to be fair, it was in the works. Yeah, no, I can't claim that. But our favourite kind of pub quiz question is, where did Ronaldo make his debut for Real Madrid? And it's Tallaght. So, yeah, it's brilliant. It was really good.
It must have been some baptism of fire, was it?
It was mental. Yeah, it really was. Because we'd only the West Stand built. The East Stand was being built. But we managed to get 12,000 people in with temporary seating. So it's just the whole place was crazy in the build-up to it. And you know, one of the things I say all the time is that Tallaght, unfortunately, can be in the news for the wrong reasons at times. So it's events like that and the matches we've had here, bring it in for good reasons.
And something that's really important to the stadium is having that UEFA status 4, so you can host European matches and everything here.
Yeah.
It's probably your bread and butter now at this stage, you're used to it, but I imagine the first couple of matches you held here, the UEFA gang were in and they had a couple of lists for you to improve on.
Yeah, they did. And look, it is, the aim with the development of this stand was to get to infrastructure category 4, which is what you're talking about. So that means we can host group stage, Champions League, European football. And obviously capacity-wise, we're never going to compare to the likes of the Aviva, but we have the rest of the infrastructure, which means, as you've seen today, we're getting ready for Shelburne against BK Hacken, and the UEFA bus literally, there's a truck in the car park, it literally rolls in yesterday, and it's crazy. But we've done a lot of improvements in terms of, say, media areas, media working areas, a lot of background stuff, as well as this stand being built to comply with those regulations. And then when they come to town as such, it's a lot easier to host the games.
Is there what's one of the most ridiculous regulations they have? It might be something so small, but that
you
have to have.
And I suppose it's one of the big things, they look after their sponsors really well. So for a couple of games over the last number of years, we've had to put a massive marquee outside the front door to facilitate hospitality, where our hospitality rooms at the time were turned into media working rooms and press conference areas. So that was probably the biggest. There's other small things like doping control rooms, the stuff like the goal line technology is coming in, VAR is coming in. So it's all the stuff you see on Tuesday and Thursday nights at home when you're watching telly, we have it here. So it's really good.
So you said earlier that the guys are just in now fitting the goal line technology in VAR for tomorrow night.
Yeah, as he arrived, GLT arrived, VAR arrived, our pitch staff were meeting the UEFA venue director and broadcast manager, so it all just happened at that little time. But it's great, I love it, the buzz is brilliant, really good.
And how long does something like that take to set up for a European night now, like tomorrow night?
I suppose they arrived on site yesterday. Today is mental, tomorrow is mental. We'll have a debrief at 11:30 tomorrow night, and then you're kind of, it's all done and dusted, but we'll then be taking the place apart. Rovers are playing Kerry in the FAI Cup semi-final on Sunday, so it's just, it's rolling on.
Yeah, it's probably too broad of a question to ask you about your day-to-day role and how that differs from match day to non-match day, but what does a day look like for you?
A non-match week is kind of just catch up in terms of facility management, making sure, you know, everything is working operationally, everything's in place, and then I suppose it's planning, event planning, you know, for the other Rovers use the place for 40 games a year, and then we've another 10 to 15 maybe 20 pitch based activities, and internally we have you know, function rooms, conference rooms, so to try and maximise the investment in the stadium, we're renting them out, we have separate non-sporting events on, so there's lots of different pieces, and you know, we'll quieten down a little bit now, but the League of Ireland season has pulled in, it's getting closer and closer together with the February start, so December, January generally are downtime to try and get other bits and pieces done and get planning, but yeah, it's busy.
Yeah, and on a match day, like when you hear stadium manager, I have visions of you coming in here kind of at the break of dawn, opening up the gates.
No.
And
no, I have done
lining the pitch and everything.
No, in fairness, we have a really good team. You know, we have the ground staff, and then there's an operations team inside who are brilliant. So at this, maybe at the start there was a little bit of that, but now I suppose I just have a little bit of oversight in that. So the guys are fantastic. A match day, so tomorrow we'll have the match day organisational meeting with UEFA. So that happens, there's a test, or UEFA will walk the venue, make sure they're happy at 10 o'clock. The organisational meeting is with both clubs, referees, security, fire, Gardaí, just to make sure everybody's on the same page.
Yeah.
So that's it literally kicks off 10:30 properly tomorrow morning,
and it'll all be shut down.
All fall into place, as it always does.
Perfectly, seamlessly.
We'll go into, so the zonal, the accreditation and activation, we'll have, you know, security on site from kind of 12 or so. And then, I think we're gates at 6 o'clock tomorrow. So, yeah, from about 5:30 onwards, you see people starting to build up. And there's great excitement, obviously, for Shelburne to, you know, to get to group stages. Obviously, we're delighted to have them here, but we're very conscious that this isn't their home ground. So we try and create as much of a feeling, you know, to make it as homey as we can for them. So
yeah, is that, we saw maybe down in one of the dressing rooms that there would usually be a place where like the crest of Shamrock Rovers would be. Do you have that kind of taken down that, now to make it a bit more homely for Shelburne?
It is. In fairness, Rovers actually pop that in and out themselves. So, and there's a lot of branding in the tunnel, but everything is demountable for that reason. So not just for Shelburne, for the likes of when the FAI come in, they put up their own branding and signage, and Shells, I've no doubt, will start to brand themselves today as well.
It must sicken a lot of people to see the Shells branding in here, does it?
I'll say nothing. We are a multi-purpose venue, but obviously, that's a great rivalry, you know. So I have no doubt, for the greater good of the league, to have two clubs at group stage games is absolutely fantastic. So it's, it's good.
And obviously you mentioned the League of Ireland, it's seen such a revival over the last couple of years. Do you notice a big difference even at the atmosphere in the games or the demographic of the crowds that's coming in?
Absolutely massive. And you know, I'll hold my hands up, in 09 I was a massive Manchester United fan and really didn't know that much about League of Ireland, and I suppose I've been really fortunate to watch the vast majority of Rovers home games here since then. I've been to a few away, but the change, whereas before it was, I'd say, a lot of fathers and sons, now it's all the family. It's mums, sisters, it's kids. This stand in particular at Rovers games is nearly the family stand.
Okay.
And it's brilliant. It really is. The demographic has massively changed for the good.
Do you think having the women's team, the international team, having their base in Tala as well, has that helped kind of bring along a new audience, and then they'll start coming to... Yeah,
I think so. I mean, what we see with the international teams is we get a lot of people coming up from the country. A lot of buses with girls' teams, coaches, families. There's a slightly different demo. There's more, like, the noise for the women's internationals. The decibel level just goes right up, and it's brilliant. It's slightly different atmosphere, but still a really good one, you know. And you see it, one of the things I've definitely noticed in the square is the number of Shamrock Rovers jerseys, Pats jerseys, whereas before it was United, Liverpool, Manchester City. Like, that's a real change that we've seen.
Yeah, yeah. And you mentioned this being the family stand. Obviously, this is your newest stand here. You must have seen, I mean, 16 years in the job, you must have seen a lot of developments and a lot of changes.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, we joke about the Real Madrid match, but the night Real Madrid were here, there was literally, the function room was just concrete. And we had a really good company come in and dress the room. So on one half of the room, we had, like, the inside of a marquee, like, carpet, everything. And the other was just literally concrete. We had one stand. So the main stand was 09. The east stand was 2011. South 2018. And this one was finished last year. So, yeah, it's been really good. And I suppose to have had an opportunity, particularly with the last stand, and the inside, so we basically gutted the inside of the building as well, and to have had some input in that, like, I was sadly way more excited about the works in there, upgrading the dressing rooms, upgrading the media areas, than I was about this, purely because I see the benefit, you know, for when various teams are coming to town.
Yeah, and you've got a new room inside as well, like a sensory room?
We do. So the at the minute, the TV studio, if it's not being used, and it hasn't been used, doubles as a sensory room. We are planning on putting a new hopefully inside at some point over the next while, a full time one.
Brilliant. It's super important, really, isn't it?
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
And you say you've been lucky enough to see most of the Rovers home games here. Is there, like, a goal or even, like, in a match itself that stands out to you in terms of atmosphere?
Gosh, I'd have to have a think about that. Any of the Dublin derbies.
Okay.
Like, Bows and Rovers, absolutely. No matter what the state of play is in terms of the league, it's just a whole different atmosphere. And then, obviously, we've had both occasions where Rovers have won, Rovers have lost. But it's next level, really good.
We were chatting before about the Ryder Cup and the crowds and how they got heated. Is that something you're always a little bit conscious of as well when you're having to plan, especially for the derby days?
Yeah, so there is. There's a really strong planning piece that happens ahead of particularly the Category A, which are the high-risk fixtures. Obviously, we have a really good working relationship with Talagardi, and, you know, we've had the same systems in place. They've just increased since 09. We have event controller, safety officers, and everybody is well-versed on the risks. So we try to alleviate as much risk as we can. You're always going to have incidents, but we manage it as best we can.
I suppose a home venue, we were saying, it's so important, like, even the way Shells would probably try and make this place their home tomorrow. But to a team like Shamrock Rovers, who had moved around so much in years past, this stadium must be very important to the fans.
I think so. I think so. And as I mentioned to you before, you know, the change in the people going through the square, it's just the analogy I use, like, you see Rovers jerseys everywhere.
Yeah.
For the locality, you know, it's definitely kind of, I think it's the jewel in the crown. Now, I know I'm biased, but for the region, because you're bringing, you know, hundreds of thousands of people through the place every year who mightn't necessarily be here, mightn't have heard of Tala. They've come from all over the Europe. And it's really good for the locality.
Yeah, we saw as well the brick wall with all the members' names.
Yeah, yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, so that was a piece the club had started when they originally went to build the venue. And that's only gone in last year because it was 20 years ago. At that point, they had tried to do it, ran out of steam, and the members' club of Rovers, they resurrected it last year, and we were absolutely open to it, because I think you have to remember, we have to be mindful of the heritage of the football club as well, so where we can, we'll help with pieces like that.
And is there anything non-football aside that you'd love to have in here?
In terms of events?
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose, look, we are looking towards concerts, and that would be...
Get Oasis here next year.
We'll see if we'll have them. We'll have to see if they meet the criteria. No, look, we we're fit for about 20,000 people, 15 to 20,000 people. That is the next stage. So the plan was to get the place developed, get this stand finished out, and hopefully next year or the year after we'll venture into that world.
I suppose, what is next for Tala Stadium? You know, you've got your finished stand now.
I want a roof, I want undersoil heating. Might not get it, but we have to shoot for the stars. I suppose, you know, capacity at 10-7, we'd like to get a few more seats in. So how that looks, I'm not too sure, but our directorate, chief executive, and the local councillors are really positive in terms of progressing the venue. So who knows, hopefully we'll get a few more bums and seats in here.
Brilliant. Nicola, thanks so much. I think you're being beckoned away there by the UEFA bus in the background. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it.